Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Actually, also through verse 17. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can just come and just spend time with you, God, that we can just come in your presence, Lord, as a community, as brothers and sisters, just to hear your word, God. I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just guide and lead this time. God, that your Holy Spirit will come just fill my mouth, Lord, and that only you will be heard today. God, I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit will just be in every person who walks in this door, and that we will just be able to hear you so clearly. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I just want to share a little bit more in the book of 1 John. And I just got back from visiting my brother in Cameroon. Most people have no idea where that is, but it's in the western coast of Africa, just south of Nigeria. And so he's been a missionary there for 4 or 5 years, and his wife has been a missionary there for, I think, 10. I don't know how long she's been there, but she's been there longer. And so after after you've been away for a while, when you get on the plane, all you want to do is rest, right? Like, you don't want to talk to anyone. You don't want them to talk to you. And so I had a layover in Addis Ababa, and so I just got to a place to sit. I had 2 hours. I was like, all right, I had a book I needed to read for the staff's trip to Israel next week. And so I was like, okay, I got to get this book done. And I'm on the flight from Yaounde to Addis Ababa. I noticed this woman, and I just kind of was like, oh, because her hair was quite cool. Like, she had all these braids, and then in her braids, she had like these different color ribbons. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then all of a sudden, I look up, and she's sitting right next to me while I'm waiting, just trying to like sit quietly, read my book. And then she starts talking to me. You know that inside, you're just like, just leave me alone. Can you just go away? But I'm like trying to be polite. And like, oh. So she was moving from Yaounde to Seoul to study for 2 years, her master's. And she's going on and she's talking about God. I'm like, oh, great. So she's a Christian. So I really need to be, you know, like, well, I should really be nice to everybody. But she's going to know if I'm not being. And so finally, it's like just engaging her. And she was talking about actually the whole process to be going to Seoul. And she really felt like it was from God. Like from the very beginning, she's like, I was praying and God gave me like this very clear picture that I'm supposed to go to Seoul. It's all going to work out. And all these people around her that have done this before would try to cheat. They would try to like lie on their applications. They would cheat in their workplace, everything to make themselves look better. And she was like, God made it very clear that I wasn't supposed to do this, that I'm supposed to be honest, honorable, to put him first, and not to love the world, not to give in to what the world was telling me to do. You know, her friends, her bosses, all these people were like, you know, it's not bad just if you just, you know, change things to make yourself look better. And so just from what she was telling me, she was just like, no, I need to just follow God and trust that he's going to take care of this. And so when she went into the embassy, the South Korean embassy, everything passed immediately. And apparently that never happens in Yaounde. Apparently it takes 2-3 times for you to get your visa. And she was just saying, like, she was just putting God first and not the world, not her fears, not her worldly ideas of how to do things. And so as I was preparing for today, one of the first things in this passage is to do not love the world. This idea of not loving the world. But I think that's about material wealth. It's about a lot of things, but it's also not living the way the world tells us to live. And I mean, I'll probably never see this lady again. I did confess to her that I was a pastor, and then that made her very excited. And she's like, oh, I must be blessed to sit next to you. And I'm like, yes, sure. But she was very nice. And so, but it really started making me think, like, you know, just not following the way of the world. She could have listened to her boss. She could have listened to her friend. She could have done it the way people have done it before. And yet she chose to live like God does. And so when we look at 1 John 2:15 through 17, the very first thing we need to see is do not love the world. You know, it's very easy for us today to love the world, to love the things of the world. And this isn't saying that you can't love God's people, the people of the world. Doesn't mean we can't like go into nature and be like, oh, the Grand Canyon is beautiful. That's not this kind of love. The love that God is saying is to put the world before God. You know, it goes on into let me make sure I'm saying this right. Verse 16 is talking about lust of the eyes. It's talking about flesh. And so if we look throughout Bible, talks about the flesh quite a bit. But we also see it in John 3:6. And in it, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so John here is alluding once again that if we are of God, that we are of spirit, we are not supposed to be in this world, and we're not supposed to be of the flesh. In Greek, the flesh usually referred to our bodies, but also not just our bodies, but our worldly desires. It was the word sarx, S-A-R-X. And it describes the physical part of a person that is destroyed in death. The Greeks believed, and we've talked about this before, being body, mind, and soul. But later Greek thinkers such as Eupocris believed that sarx was the source of human desire. The concept of the flesh is as the source of all the desires had a widespread influence in the Greek-Roman world. And he was saying that this also includes things like uncontrollable gluttony, sexual indulgences, anything that we see in the world and we want in the world. And so when John is writing this, when he says, do not be of this world, when he says to not give in to worldly desires, to be of the flesh, he's talking about those things. I don't know if you guys know much about the Amish community, also known as Mennonites in Canada. But it's a little different. So in the U.S., there's Amish and there's Mennonite. And so Mennonites are a little bit more progressive. They drive cars, but they're typically black. Their clothes are still muted, but they have electricity. But Amish communities in the U.S., and they're usually in the Midwest or Pennsylvania, they have this period of time. If you don't know anything about them, they believe in being in the world and not of the world. And so they have no electricity. Their clothing is very simple. They actually apparently have very good health because most of their food has no, it's not been modified by the world in any way. But they have this period in time, what's called Rumspring. And this is when kids up somewhere between, depending on which group you are, it's a period of time between the ages of 14 and 21 that typically this will take place. And these kids are allowed to go wild. They're allowed to do whatever they want with no consequences from the family, from the church. And so you'll typically we sometimes like to drive. There's a community about 2 hours, not quite, but 2 hours south of where I grew up. And actually there's communities not too far from where I grew up. And we like to go down there to buy meat and cheese. They have the best cheese in the world. And you'll see this horse and buggy going down the street, but then they'll be blasting music out of a radio. Right? And so that should be clear sign that this is a kid who's in this time period of Rumsburg. But there's TV shows in the U.S. have really caught on to this, and they're filming them, and I'm sure most of it's lies what they're doing because they're just trying to sell you their shows. But the kids they get drunk, they do drugs, they have premarital sex, they just go completely crazy. They're giving into all their fleshly desires. But at the time they turn 16 to 21, when they've decided, okay, I'm either going to be in this community or not. I'm either going to be Amish or I'm going to be, I think they call them English. So people who are not Amish are English. But when they make that decision, if they choose not to remain Amish, they are excommunicated from the community, from their family, never to be allowed back in. People are supposed to turn their backs on them and completely ignore them. And it's quite difficult for people who have left that community. But the signifying moment in their life of when they decide to give up all that the world is when they get baptized. So the moment they get baptized, and that's the moment they're saying, we're giving up the world, we're giving up everything to follow this way. Now, I'm not saying the Amish live perfect, wonderful lives. I've met people who once were Amish, and they talk about the hypocrisy, how the men can have electricity for work, but the women don't get it at home. You see all of that. It's still there, right? And it's not good. But this morning, I was just really reminded of how seriously they churched that they've even carved out this time period in the lives of their youth where they can go crazy and they're not going to be judged for it. Because the moment they become, I mean, not Christian, but Amish, I guess, when they get baptized into that faith, which is Christian, they're supposed to completely turn their back on it. And I think sometimes we don't. You know, God calls the same thing of us. Now, we don't go to the point where we completely remove ourselves from the world like the Amish do, but we are supposed to not act like the world. And I think that we do. I think I do. You know, I think that I oftentimes get caught up in what the world tells me to believe in, and that, oh, the world says these things are okay, but God doesn't. You know, things like, just for your own life, just think a moment about what are these things in the world that you're holding on to? You know, could it be lust? You know, we often know that lust is bad, but we still lust. What do we do? Like, how are we bringing that before God to lay it down? Or is it our pride of wealth? You know, we've made it very clear here at SP, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. You know, God does say he's going to prosper his people. Now, whether that's financially or in other ways, right? But that does mean some people will be blessed financially. But how do we view our money? Do we give glory to ourselves or to God in that time? Are we walking around the world, look at me and all that I've accomplished, look at my house, look at my bank account? Are we always giving glory back to God? What about our material wealth? Like the physical things we own. You know, I like nice things. I mean, my house would not look like I like nice things. You know, my IKEA special house, like most of us in Hong Kong, we love our IKEA. But are we looking around the world and being like, I want more and more of what the world has? Or are we looking around and saying, I want more and more of what God has? You know, and that's a key line. There's nothing wrong with wanting nice things. But is that to fill something in our own life? Or is that to tell the world, look at me? Or is it, you know, kind of like what Pastor Kenny was saying on Sunday, you know, about clothing. Is it part of, like, you know, there's certain things we like to wear. There's actually nothing wrong with that. But what is our heart behind it? You know, like, I like my iPhones, you know, but why do I like them? What am I trying to tell myself in the world? Where does that desire come from? And is it out of a discontentment? You know, I think oftentimes we think we need more to fill something instead of being satisfied with what God has given us. And I've said this before, but oftentimes I think the happiest people I've ever met, the ones who seem to laugh the most, to be most joyful, are some of the poorest people I've ever met. It's the people who, like, physically, they're not spiritually, physically, right? And they just find joy in the small things. You know, a child who grows up with very little and you give them a Jolly Rancher, a sucker, a sticker, their face lights up. Now, that does happen in Noah's Ark here too. Sometimes, you know, which families don't allow their kids to eat much candy because they get that same excitement and joy when they get a piece of candy. But do they have that same contentment out of a piece of candy? That, not contentment, but like this, you know, there's just so much, there's just something different that you see. My sister-in-law and I haven't spent much time with her because I've lived in Hong Kong since she's been my sister-in-law. She's been in Cameroon for, you know, a lot of the time she's been married to my brother. And so she and I were talking a lot, and I was asking her about the churches there. And one of the things she was telling me, and I mean, I want to be cautious because I don't know the story myself, but she was telling me about especially what seems to be the charismatic church there. And she is clearly against it. Not because of the charismatic movement, but things that have come out of it. And I was sharing with some people how to be prayed for, you pay $20. So if you're sick, you have to pay your pastor. Now, this is not every church there. I want to be very cautious that you don't think everyone does this. But some of the churches she's attended, she's noticed when you go up to get prayer for healing, or if you go up just for prayer, you're expected to give money before you get prayed for. One of the other things she's noticed is that these churches, those pastors, have the nicest cars out of anyone in their community. And there's nothing wrong with your pastor having a nice car or a nice house or nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with it. But what she's noticed is they do these big fundraising drives, and all that money goes to their pastor to get these nice things. And so what her problem was is it was not about providing for their pastor. It's about showing the world, look at my pastor. So even in the church, and I think we do it here, I think we do it in Hong Kong churches and all around the world, we get misguided on what is biblical, right? There's nothing wrong with providing for PSAM, nothing. But are we doing it to one-up another church or another faith? And I think that's what she was getting at. And so she actually did attend those churches for a while, and now she's actually in another church, and they're in another church, and I walked into their pastor's house, and it was massive. But it's actually because he has a full-time other job, and because of his honesty, he's moved his way up in the government and is now making decent money. And the last part of this is is talking about how the world is coming to an end. We're in the last days, and the next verses we'll be talking more about that. But what I want to focus on is oftentimes I think we get so focused on the end of time. They're like, oh, you know, you have people in the church like, when it went from 1999 to 2000, people started like, they're so afraid of the end of the world. People went up to these hills thinking God was going to take them back. And they got so focused on the end of the world, they didn't get focused on what's going to happen after the end of the world. Right? And actually, I hope my dad never listens to this, but he actually stockpiled food because he thought that the internet was going to go down, like canisters of rice and water and oatmeal. And I'm like, what were you doing? He's like, well, now they're eating it. So he's like, well, I mean, I just kind of played, you know, it's like, well, if the end of the world doesn't come happen, if the things don't fall apart, it's fine. I still have food for the next whatever many years in the pantry. So it was kind of one of those, I'm going to hedge my bets here on, you know, either way it'll be okay. But I think oftentimes we get lost in focusing on all the things that are going around. And I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, I read the news more. It seems as if the world is falling apart around us in many ways. I honestly don't think the world's that much more evil than it ever was before. I think the world's always been pretty bad. I just think that we are more aware of it because of social media, because of age, just being connected around the world. And I think just our eyes are being more and more open to what the devil has already been doing. But I think, we do need to see that. We do need to understand that. But I think as we live our life, our eyes should be focused on eternity. You know, like, am I doing this because of instant gratification for the present, for today? Or do I know that my life is already fixed, that I have eternal life with God? How you interact with people on the street's going to change. How you interact with your family should change when you're like, I know I have eternity. Now, what am I doing to help others get to eternity? Do I need $1 million, $20 million, $1 billion in my bank account? Or do I need Jesus? Nothing wrong with having that amount of money. But is it what you need or is that what you want? And where are we putting our focus? And as we're looking at the world and how we live and our behavior, are we so focused on what the world tells us is fun? What the world tells us is important? You know, to be progressive, you need to believe X, Y, Z. And if you don't believe that, you are all of these other things. Are we focused on what the world is telling us? Or are we focusing on eternity? On what God is telling us? Where do we make our judgments? You know, and I'm not saying you're in one camp or the other. I think the thing is, as Christians especially, we tend to put one foot here, one foot here. Well, it's not so bad to do this of the world. Oh, but, you know, eternity tells me this for this other aspect. Right? And we need to fully put ourselves into eternity's perspective, into God's perspective. And I think this is what John is really warning of us in this chapter, is to keep our eyes on God, to keep our eyes on Him, and not get sidetracked by what the world tells us, and to live in our spirit. You know, John 3:6 tells us we are either of flesh or we're of spirit. And when we choose Jesus, his spirit falls into us. It lives in us. It pours into us. And we are no longer body. We are spirit. And yes, we're all of those things, but the spirit is who we truly are. Our spirit and our identity in Jesus. And to walk into that, I think, is something that God is really speaking to me about. So we can just close our eyes, and I'm going to ask P-Nate to come up to lead worship. I just want you to ask God, where in your life today are you still holding on to the world? Where in today are you still focusing, or you're struggling to let go of what the world tells you instead of what God tells you? And just listen to what God tells you, and then later we'll just kind of have a time where we can just lay it down before him.
So much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Your love has ravished my heart and taken me over. Over, and all I what your love is for me. Oh, 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 oh. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much stronger than anything I faced. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart.
As we were praying and worshiping, God reminded me of a family friend of mine. And she's now in, I think, her 70s. And she grew up as a missionary's kid in Japan, so quite poor. She ended up marrying one of the wealthiest families in her hometown. And people always joke about how she never realized how wealthy she was. Like, oh, she never figured it out. But I was sitting here and God was like, no, Mary, she always knew how wealthy she was. The money, the earthly thing never changed her. She already knew her value in God, and therefore everything, and her husband's amazing, but okay, so, but everything that he brought her didn't change who she was, because God had already changed her and her identity was always in him. And so I think sometimes when it's hard for us to lay down the world, it's because we forget what we have when we have God. And so whatever it is that God put on your heart that you're struggling to just release, just want to pray over that right now. And so God, I just pray, Lord, for whatever it is in our life, whether it's materials, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances, God, whatever it is that we are listening to the world more than we are listening to you on, God, that we can lay it before you and know that our eternity is with you, and that that is the greatest gift of all, that Jesus laid his life down for us so we don't have to perish, that we can live with you. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, whatever it is that we need to lay down today, God, that we can give it to you freely, knowing what we have in you, God. And if we're struggling to know what we have in you, Lord, that you will just release that into our lives, that we will each and every one of us know all that it is that you have given us, and the freedom that comes with that, and the joy that comes with that, and the peace, and just who you are that comes with that. So Lord, we just thank you. We just love you. We're going to turn to our community prayer focus. And let's lift up those in our community who are battling cancer or going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just lift them up. Let's just call forth God's healing hand. Pray for those who are sick but also need salvation. Let's just pray for God's healing hand, both physically and spiritually, to come into their lives, and that they will come to know Jesus. Pray for those who have various infirmities. Let's just pray for God just to release their pain, just that God's healing hand, God will just just be released into their illnesses and into their lives. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God will just release to them His purposes and His plans, and in this time of waiting, that they will just have God's peace, and that God will just open the right jobs for them. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia. Let's just pray that she will just be able to be a light in that country, just that people will be drawn to her because of God in her. Let's pray for Cambodia, for Grace, that as she continues to set up her new ministry, her place of business, that God will just show her the right steps and give her the right connections. And let's pray for Oasis House with P. Jenny, that it can just be a place used to really just bring healing to that, the people who work there, the people who are from there, and just healing to that nation. Pray for our mission council. Let's pray for P. Ricky. Let's pray that God will really speak to them clearly on where we should go as a church for missions and just funds. And let's just also lift up this Sunday as they have an info session about the different mission trips this summer. Let's just also pray that our church will be open just to go and just be a light in this world. Lift up our local outreach ministries, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation. Also lift up Tim and Janella as they head the ministry. Let's just pray that we can just be able to be God's hands and feet in Hong Kong. Praying for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry, for Cadence, for the Dumont family, that we can just be a place that we take care of those who are in the greatest need. Pray for our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth, and EG. Let's just pray that God's Spirit will just lead and guide each of those ministries, and that those, especially in our youth and SPU ministries, that they will just really get to know God and encounter Him more, and also in our EG. Pray for our house churches that are gathering and meeting tonight, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock. Let's just pray that they will really be able to lay down their worries, that they will be able to discuss freely, and that the Holy Spirit will just really guide and lead their time together. God, we just thank you again for today. We thank you that we can just come before you and just spend time with you, God, and that we can just have eternity with you, God, that you are a God who has given us all that we need and more. God, that we can just trust you and live with you and follow your ways, God, and that, Lord, that today we can give up the things of the world to follow you and know that you will just be our guide, that you will be our provider, that you will be our strength. So God, I just pray that as we go out today, Lord, that we'll just be able to follow you closely. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you will just lead us where we are called to today. So Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.